It was entitled, What's Going On in Washington Makes Me Sick at My Stomach. And I agree. If there was ever a time that we need to be praying, I appreciate Bill's prayer, that we need to be praying for our people and those who are in governmental offices, and our country as a whole, it's now. If there was ever a time that we needed to make certain that we go to the polls and vote for people who uphold godly principles, it is this election. I'm very fearful of the things that are going on at this time and what may happen to our country if we do not turn back to God's ways. I thought it would be a good time for me to present a lesson on body and soul, and if I've given you some of these statistics before, then you probably have forgotten them. So I hope that maybe you will remember them as we go together and study today. This past January, the 22nd, marked the 45th anniversary of a critical and dismal day in the history of our nation. Many have described it as the modern Holocaust. On January the 22nd, 1973, the United States Supreme Court passed down its controversial decision legalizing a woman's right to have an abortion. And that law was applicable in all 50 states. It sparked a political, social, moral, and spiritual debate that continues to this day. And it amazes me the degradation that is going on of seemingly a very good Supreme Court justice nominee for political reasons. It reminds me of Jesus when he was praying for the city of Jerusalem in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 37, and it is referred to as a lament. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. We are in a very critical time in our nation. There's a statistic that I read, and this has been several years back. It's probably more than that now, even though this sounds unrealistic, that there were more than 56 million abortions that were performed each year in the world, with about 45% of those done unsafely. Unsafe abortions, those performed by unskilled individuals with hazardous equipment or in unsanitary facilities, caused 47,000 deaths and 5 million hospital admissions each year. You probably have driven by churches in Longview and in Tyler and Dallas and other places where there are thousands of white crosses in front of their church buildings. And those crosses represent the number of abortions that occur in our nation every day of the year. The landmark court case is referred to as Roe versus Wade. For a number of years, Jane Roe's identity was kept somewhat secretive. Excuse me. Jane Roe was the pseudonym for a woman named Norma McCorvey, and it was used to protect her true identity. In 1973, Norma McCorvey was 21 years old. She was on her third pregnancy. She was a ninth grade dropout. She suffered from physical and emotional abuse as a child, spent some time in a reform school in Gainesville, Florida. She was raped as a teenager. She was beaten by a husband whom she married at age 16. She suffered from alcohol and drug abuses and had engaged in other illicit sexual relationships. Her first child was raised by her mother. Her second child was raised by her father. And ironically, her third child was not aborted. She gave birth to a girl who was given up for adoption. Therefore, she was certainly a pawn in the hands of the pro-abortion movement. An amazing thing happened in those ensuing years. In 1995, Norma McCorvey was working at a Dallas women's clinic when the anti-abortion group Operation Rescue moved its offices next door. Initially, McCorvey hurled insults at the protesters. She was described by an anti-abortion leader as super hardcore in her continuing support of abortion rights. But eventually, she and the leader of Operation Rescue, Philip Benham, struck up a friendship. She accepted an invitation from the daughter of Operation Rescue's office manager to attend church with her. And shortly thereafter, she was baptized in a swimming pool at a Dallas home on August the 8th, 1995. She wrote a book titled Won by Love. And she was in the anti-abortion movement for many years and vehemently stated that the Roe versus Wade decision should be overturned. A number of years ago, I also heard about a wall that was built in Chattanooga, Tennessee. It was similar to the wall in Washington, D.C., that memorializes the men and women who died in the Vietnam conflict. But that wall was for all the aborted children of America. And many mothers who aborted their children have gone to that wall, naming their unborn children, putting the names of their previously unnamed children on the wall, and hoping that this will help with their emotional and spiritual healing. The last I heard is that the majority of Americans oppose abortion, even though that majority is getting smaller and smaller each day. If we are able to add another conservative on the Supreme Court, there may be some restructuring of some very ungodly laws. I will let our judicial system declare the innocence or guilt of those who are charged with moral and ethical wrongs. But what concerns me is that there is another poll that was taken of Americans who do not believe that moral misbehavior affects a person's life. And it was the majority of Americans that believed that was true. And yet we see that there are some people who are held to one standard and there are other people who are held to another standard. I do believe that what has happened on the abortion issue, excuse me, is that with the advancement of medical technology, more and more premature babies are being born and living at an age when they were previously aborted. And it is difficult to deny that these babies are living people or living souls. number of years ago, again, and my memory on this has slipped a little bit, but it was either on Dateline or 2020 or one of those hour-long news shows. There were several adults, men and women, whose mothers, for one reason or another, had gone to sperm banks in order to become impregnated. And every one of those adults, men and women, some shedding tears of genuine sorrow, wanted to know who their physical father was. There was a great emotional void in the hearts and the lives of every one of those adults who were someone's child, and they didn't know whose. You may be asking at this point, what is the point of all this? Why talk about these sexual issues on a Sunday morning at the Holly Lake Church of Christ? Because I believe these are moral and ethical and spiritual decisions that some of you have probably already encountered in your life or in your family's life, and the youth of our day will one day encounter themselves. We can stick our head in the sand like the ostrich, or we can address some of these issues head on. In a time when genetic engineering, euthanasia, and human cloning are potential scientific and medical realities, today's Christian needs to have some spiritual responses. After Jesus taught in the temple at the age of 12, it was said of him that Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and men. In Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 31, one of the scribes came and, having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second, like it, is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.'" It is a fallacy to believe that you can separate body, spirit, intellect, and emotion in this fleshly existence of ours. God made us with all of these integral parts. These parts are interwoven so well that it is almost impossible to differentiate them. And that is the problem that the Gnostics had. You know anything about Greek at all, you would understand the word gnosis there, the G is silent, is a word that means knowledge. And those who were Gnostics professed to have a greater knowledge than anyone else. They claimed to be superior in their knowledge, and particularly about things that were regarding the spirit or the soul. And yet, even in Gnosticism, there were extremes, much like you see in our nation today. There were some who were referred to as ascetist or asceticism. And these were people that we might refer to today as conservatives, ultra-conservatives. They denied the body. They denied that the body was of any good, that it mattered at all. that it was evil, and only the soul thrived. And therefore, they would deprive the body. They would not eat certain things. They would not drink certain things. They might not even have conjugal rights because of their belief in asceticism. And there were other Gnostics who were referred to as libertines or antinomians. And these were people who also believed that the flesh was evil, but on the other extreme, they indulged the flesh. They said, well, since the flesh is evil, then we can do anything we want with the flesh, and yet that will not affect the soul or the spirit. Certainly we would call these liberals today. But as long as one's conscience has not been seared, there is a terrible price to pay for sinful indulgences. Whether one commits a sinful act after rationalizing or on an impulse, his or her conscience, moral and spiritual parts will one day weigh heavily on him or her. Any kind of immoral or non-spiritual action will eventually have negative repercussions. And some repercussions may be physical. And we certainly see that in AIDS and social diseases and unwanted pregnancies and abortions and deaths of people who are undergoing abortions. Other repercussions may be spiritual or emotional. Emotional breakdowns, broken hearts, untrusting spirits, and feelings of guilt and unworthiness. You cannot divorce the intellect from the emotional. And this is true in every area of our lives. There are some people who think that becoming a Christian and living the Christian life is simply an intellectual exercise, devoid of any emotions. And there are others who take the opposite approach, all emotion and no logic or reason. But decisions and commitments, especially those to the Lord, demand man's whole being. Listen to the words of the psalmist in Psalm 22 and verse 10. I was cast upon you from birth. From my mother's womb, you have been my God. That's not just a fetus. That is a person. I was cast upon you from my birth. From my mother's womb, you have been my God. Again, in the book of Psalms, in Psalm 139, beginning verse 13 through verse 15, you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Certainly the psalmist was speaking about life in the mother's womb. Jeremiah spoke of the same thing in the book of Jeremiah. We certainly know that there are situations, and particularly one in the slide I'm about to show you, where there's proof that there's a living being or living soul in the mother's womb. This was a surgeon who was doing surgery on a mother's womb, and that's a little baby's hand that is reaching out and grabbing the surgeon's finger. That's a living soul. That's a living being. We need to make certain that as Christians, we stand up for that which is right, for that which is of God and not that which is of Satan. We need to stand up for people who will be against abortion. We need to stand up for life, life as God has intended it to be. I hope that this sermon has provoked you to think and to study about these things. We hope and pray that each one of us will be the kind of people that God wants us to be in standing up for those things that are right. We have an opportunity. As Christians, we have an opportunity to vote, to stand up for the truth. I hope and pray that each one of us will do that. If there's anyone here this morning who needs to respond to the invitation of our Lord Jesus Christ, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.